doing it, you'll be obedient to his word. We're looking this morning in Exodus chapter 12, the book of Exodus chapter 12. I want to read here from this passage this morning, familiar text, very familiar, but I want to draw some thoughts from here and try to preach from this passage as the Lord would help us and would direct us this morning. The book of Exodus chapter 12, I want to begin with verse 1 and I'll read through verse 13 of this text this morning and then try to preach as the Lord would direct us. Exodus chapter 12, we'll begin reading with verse 1 and read through verse 13. When you have found your place, if you're physically able to do so, I'd invite you to stand with us. And by standing, we're simply honoring and reverencing the reading of God's precious word. If you're able to remain standing after we read these verses, we'll pray together. And I would appreciate so much you praying with us and for us that the Lord would help us, for without him we can do nothing this morning. Verse 1 said, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls, every man according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. They shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. You shall let nothing of it remain unto the morning. That which remaineth of it unto the morning, you shall burn it with fire. Thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for the reading of the scriptures. We thank you that you have preserved your word unto this generation. I pray now you take this scripture that I've read as I endeavor to preach from it and give us unction and utterance. Give us that anointing. Make it alive. Make it real to our hearts and lives. May it not just be words, Lord, on a page. May it not just be words that we've read. But may the word of God become alive in our hearts and lives this morning. Hit me now to preach. Lord, and may the word of God find lodging in our lives. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive what you have for us in the word of God this morning. I pray you bring conviction to the sinner. I pray you bring comfort to the saint. And I pray most of all that the name of the Lord Jesus would be glorified and magnified among us this morning. Lord, do for us now what we cannot do for ourselves. Have mercy and help us, strengthen our body and voice. You with every heart to cheer. I reveal yourself to every individual that's under the sound of my voice that's entered those doors this morning. And Lord, I pray reveal each one of us our need of you. And don't leave us like we've come. But may we leave here better. May we leave here, Lord. Oh God, with a greater understanding of you and your will and word and way. Lord, in our lives, help us now. Find every force of hell and Satan that would defeat us. Give victory. I pray, Lord of God, have free course. And that your will be accomplished in each of our lives. together. Of course, we've come to Exodus chapter 12 in the Word of God, and that this is the chapter where the children of Israel are going to leave Egypt. We know, according to the Scripture, by reading the previous chapters in Exodus and in Genesis, that the children of Israel have been in Egypt over 400 years. We know that the promise was made to Abraham, their father, that there would come a day that God would bring them out of Egypt. God had led them to Egypt by the hand of Joseph to protect them during the famine. But all years had passed since that famine, and another Pharaoh, or a ruler of Egypt, had come to power that despised these Israelites, or these Hebrews, or this Jewish nation. As a matter of fact, he made it hard on them. As a matter of fact, my friend, he oppressed them. He had them in bondage. He made them slaves, and he put his people as taskmasters over the nation of Israel. They begin to cry out to God for deliverance. And God has now sent Moses to be their deliverer. And now God has passed 9 judgments upon the land of Egypt, judging them because they refused to let the children of Israel leave their land. Amen. And we come to Exodus 12, where God is fixing to bring the last and final judgment on, my friend, the land of Egypt, and deliver his people. And the Lord speaks to Moses and Aaron on how the children of Israel are to be delivered. There's a way out of Egypt. God has designed, my friend, a plan to get the children of Israel out of Egypt. And that plan
later, and die at Calvary and provide a way that mankind can get out from under the bondage of sin. Amen. I'm grateful for that this morning. I want you to notice how the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt and said, this month shall be to you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Hey God, they already had a civil year. Hey God, where they planned their calendar. But God said, I'm going to interrupt that civil year and tell you this is the beginning of months. Oh, this is when you'll start marking. Hey God, the life begins. Amen. I really didn't start living, and neither did you if you're saved, until you got born again. Oh, hear me. Yes, I have a natural birthday, but my greatest, hey God, day is the second birth. That's when life really began. But the Bible said, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. Amen. Oh, I'll tell you, men, women, boys, and girls, I just began life when they looked to the Lamb, and the Lamb blood, the Lamb's blood supplies them with that eternal and that everlasting life that God can give. Up to that time, we're dead in trespasses and in sins, but I'm glad he quickens us or makes us alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, I'm glad the message came that there was a new beginning, that there was a fresh start. Oh, thank God for the message. Whoa, I'm glad when I heard the message, aren't you?
Yes.
By the way, God always speaks through his word. The word of the Lord came unto Moses and Aaron, and it came in the land of Egypt. The word came where they were depressed, where they were despondent, where they were discouraged, where they were in bondage, where they were in affliction, where they were in oppression. My God, they had some good news, and that's what I preach this morning, is the gospel. And the gospel is the good news of saving grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! And in this sin-cursed world, and in this world that we live in today, where sickness and suffering and sorrow and heartache and sin abounds, the Bible and the gospel tells us there's a way out of this, that there's a hope in the midst of a world where there is no hope. That hope is wrapped up and bound up in the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Woo!
Yes,
amen. And so here they are. Here's the tyrannies, and the message comes. Amen. Salvation is a revelation. And God reveals himself through his word. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Are y'all listening to me? And from the beginning of time, God has revealed himself through his word. Hallelujah. With Adam, it was a spoken word. Are y'all listening to me this morning? Hallelujah. By the way, amen, it wasn't the sight of God that affected Adam. The Bible said the voice of the Lord God was heard walking in the garden in the cool of the day. It's the word of God that is revealed to Adam. Woo! When did God reveal his word to Adam? When he fell, when he sinned, when he's in his fallen state. Here come the word of God that said, hey Adam, where art thou?
you couldn't get to him if he didn't come to you first. Matter of fact, you wouldn't look for him. You don't want him. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Woo! Oh, but when God, shakes us and stirs us up and makes us aware of what we are and where we're at, we have the opportunity to respond to him then. Amen. God didn't ask Adam, where art thou? Hey, God, because he didn't know where Adam was. He said, Adam, where art thou? Where Adam could say, where is that? Hallelujah. And when Adam was honest and said, I was naked and hid myself, God was able and I clothed him in his own righteousness. When you and I'll admit who we are and where we're at, God then can take the garment of righteousness and clothe us. I'm preaching too much introduction to get to the sermon. Y'all help me. This morning, pray for me. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. Thank God. But he said, y'all, you Israelites, you Jews, you Hebrews, I'm fixing to tell you how you're going to get out of here. I'm fixing to relate to you. Salvation is a revelation. It's a revelation of the Word of God to your heart.
Yes, it is.
Amen. Hallelujah. Can I borrow your Bible, son? Now this Bible this boy has, like this one has, and that one has, and that one has, and most of you got this morning what I read out of, this Bible is a revelation of God's Word to mankind.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. But you see, it's spiritually written, and so it's spiritually discerned, and to the sinner, it's just another book.
Yeah.
Oh, he may reverence it, he may place it on a higher shelf, or on top of his other books, and keep the dust off of it, amen. And he may say he believes what it says, but he don't understand it until the Holy Ghost makes it real to his life. That is God's revealed word. Are y'all hearing me? Amen. Thank God in the general sense, but I tell you, it doesn't mean a thing to you until God makes it real to your heart. Woo! You say, I've been preaching all my life. Won't do you a lick of good unless there's a day, thank God, that the God preaches to you through the preacher.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm just a voice this morning. I'm just a vessel. And if you hear me, I preach every sermon I'll ever preach. It won't help you much. But if God preaches to you through me and reveals this word, that's what it makes a difference in your life. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why you read that from front to back and memorize it. Amen. And somebody can even ask you, do you believe this verse or that verse? And you can say you do. And you may believe it as far as you know how to believe it. But that's not the revealed word. Hallelujah. God must speak to you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it's more than reading it. It's more than preaching it. It's when God speaks to your heart, and you hear it inside of you.
Thank God.
Woo! I remember the night I heard it for the first time. Well, I've been listening to it all of my life. But one blessed night, it broke in on me, and God preached to me. Amen. Hallelujah. You've asked me before that, do you believe the Bible? Well, I said, yeah. Do I believe the Bible's Word of God? I said, yeah. Amen. And you said the Bible tells you what you've got to do to go to heaven? I said, yeah. But I didn't understand. Hallelujah. I knew it right, but it hadn't preached to me. Have that revealed word of God. But reveal his word. And when he revealed his word, I found out I was a sinner. Then he revealed his will. And I found out his will was that I come to Christ and let him be my Savior. Woo! He revealed the way to do it. And that fellow was through repentance and faith, turning from my sin and laying hold on him. Woo! Bless his name. Aren't you glad the word of God come to him in Egypt? After 400 plus years of bondage and oppression, here Faith comes by hearing, hearing comes by the Word of God. And when you get faith, you've got to exercise it. You've got to act upon it. You've got to respond to it. You've got to obey what the Word of God says.
Lord, brother.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, well, that sounds like works to me. Not really.
Yeah.
Amen. Because you couldn't believe him. He hadn't given you faith.
Right.
And you couldn't repent unless he grants you space to repent.
Right.
Woo! Yeah. And you wouldn't know how to repent unless you made your godly solid. So it's all of him. You're just yielding. You're just submitting. You're just throwing in with God. Woo!
Yeah.
That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're giving yourself to God and allowing him to do what he wants to do in your life instead of following what you want, like you've been doing all your life.
That's right.
And that's hard because you have to die to yourself in order to follow him.
That's right.
It's not so hard to follow him, but it's sure hard to die to yourself.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want to get there if you give me just another minute or two. How do we get out? He said it all has to do with the Lamb. Hallelujah. First of all, in verse 3, I want you to take the Lamb.
Yeah.
He said, this month will be the beginning of you. This is how you get out of Egypt. First of all, take a Lamb.
Yeah.
On the 10th day of the month, take a Lamb. Take it out of the sheep or out of the goats. That makes a difference. But take you a Lamb.
Amen.
Amen.
Sure.
Take the Lamb. That's by faith. That's obedience to God. Are y'all hearing me? Take God and his word. Are you listening to me? If you want to get out of Egypt, take the Lamb. Hallelujah. Woo! How do I take him today, preacher? You appropriate him to your heart by faith.
Right.
They literally, physically, laid hold on the Lamb out of the goats or out of the sheep and brought it to their house. You don't do that. Thank God, that's symbolic of what we do by faith. But by faith, would you hear the word of God? And he says, Christ, it's the only way out of Egypt. You lay hold on that by faith and say, okay, if he's the way out, I'll go with him. Hallelujah. Because there is no other way out of Egypt. One or two choices today. You either die in Egypt where you've been all your life, or you lay hold on the Lamb and he gets you out. Amen.
God.
That's the only way it is.
Yeah.
Amen.
Man.
Well, don't have to do this. No, you got to take the Lamb.
Right,
take the Lamb. And they took him on the 10th day of the month. Now, the number 10 is the number for testimony in the Scripture. That number is symbolic of testimony. Amen.
Man.
Now, I've seen this, and especially... It wasn't so much in my early ministry, and I've been preaching 38 years, but I can say especially the last 15 to 20 years. 10 to 15 for sure. And maybe it went back to 20. I see as I go around churches that pastors and other exhorters in the church are trying to get folks to testify and to witness about the Lamb of God in their life. But you see, if you had never took the Lamb, you don't have no testimony.
Right, brother.
Hallelujah. And so I hear them as they beg and they prod and they poke and they punch at people and they prime people like you would an old whale. Thank God, I'll pump you over the whale. And they try to get them to say something and they'll get up and say something about Aunt so-and-so or Uncle so-and-so or Grandma's, thank God, experience. But they never have one of their own because they have never taken the Lamb unto themselves. They're talking about the preacher said, but they have no testimony of their own because they've not taken the Lamb unto themselves. Hallelujah.
Right.
Woo! Now all of us come the same way through the Lamb, but that taking of the Lamb is as individual as we are as individuals.
Right.
Woo! And it may have been in a church altar, it may have been in a back bedroom, it may have been in a cotton field or behind the barn or driving down the road, but somewhere or another you had to take the Lamb unto you.
Amen.
You had to take the Lamb to you. So to get out of Egypt, you've got to take the Lamb.
That's right.
Amen. They literally had to go out and take the Lamb. And the Lamb's been set forth before you today.
That's right.
Woo! Hallelujah. And out of all of mankind, there's not but one that you can take. Hey, God, that'll get you out of Egypt, that'll redeem your soul, that'll forgive your sin, that'll secure your place in heaven. And that's the man, Christ Jesus. There's one God and one mediator between God and man. It's the man, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
If you don't take him, there's nobody left for you to take. You'll go down in sin and damnation and destruction. Take the lamb. Take him on 10th day and take him up to the 14th day.
Yeah.
First of all, you've got to take the lamb. Second of all, you've got to touch the lamb.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh my. Touch the lamb. Somebody said, well, if you took him, you touch him. Well, they received him in their house. But from the 10th to the 14th day, they kept him up.
Yeah.
That's the taking.
Yeah.
Amen. But he said, I'll make a lamb or the lamb my own. But on the 14th day, they went out at evening with the whole assembly and killed it.
Yeah.
They laid their hands on it.
Right.
Is anybody listening to this preacher?
Hey, brother.
Hallelujah. And what they did by laying their hands on it and killing it, the whole congregation, they did it all. They didn't kill one. In this text, everybody had their own lamb.
Yeah.
Later on in the Passover, one lamb. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name.
Yeah.
But what they do, each individual lays a hand on each individual lamb, but they all did it at the same time.
Yeah.
Everybody did it at the evening. Hallelujah. And what they were doing was, they were saying, I'm guilty, he's innocent.
Right.
Yeah. I'm sinful, he's not. But I'm by touching him, I'm transferring all of my sin
good,
to
brother.
The lamb.
Thank God.
Yeah. Woo! Hallelujah. Yeah. They put all of their sin on him. I want to say something to you this morning. When they went out on the 10th day, he said, take a lamb. So they just went out on the 10th day and looked around, but they found a male without blemish and without spot, and they picked him out, and that was a lamb.
Yeah.
Then they brought him into their house, and Jewish history said sometimes they'd tie that lamb to their bedpost by rope and leave it there for the next 4 days. Amen. And it didn't just become a lamb. It become the lamb. The lamb that's going to get them out of it.
Yep.
It's just a lamb when it's in the flock.
Yep.
But when it got in your house, it is the lamb.
Thank God.
But verse 5 said, your lamb. Thank God. And when they went out there, thank God, in verse number 6,
yep,
and touched the lamb, that lamb had become,
yep,
personal to them.
Right.
Woo! That is the lamb that lived with them.
Yep.
That is the lamb that they slept with day in and walked around. He's my lamb. Is Christ your lamb? Take the lamb, touch the lamb, taste the lamb. Amen.
Yeah.
Can I just give a passing word? I don't know. Here's my problem. I read, but I can't retain. But I know they said the whole assembly was to touch the lamb, lay their hands on it in the evening. The Hebrew word means between the evening. The word evening means between the two evenings.
Yes.
Hebrews had two evenings. First evening, second evening. Amen. 12 to 3, 3 to 6. First evening, second evening. Amen. Hallelujah. And I know God was laying a precedent here.
Yeah.
Where he said, I want you to take that lamb and put your hand, the whole assembly, to lay your hands on him in the evening.
Yeah.
Between the first evening and the second evening. That's what he's really saying to them.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing how precise God is? Because I'll tell you what happened at Calvary. on an old rugged cross, hanging between heaven and earth at about 3 o'clock. Hallelujah. Woo! Between the two evenings, the first one is done ending, the second one hadn't started yet, but right between them, that's when Christ died. That's the Lamb of God. Woo! Thank God, and the sins of the world was put upon Him. God charged the sins of the whole world to Christ, and He died that day and said, "It's finished," and He took them away. Hallelujah.
That's right, brother.
Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Take the Lamb, touch the Lamb. Now taste the Lamb. He said, "I want you to slay that. When we touch that Lamb, I want you to slay it, catch the blood in a basin, strike it on the side posts and the upper door posts of the houses where you shall eat it." Verse 8 said, "And I want you to eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall you eat it. Don't eat it raw, don't eat it sodden with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and the pertinence thereof." Are you hearing me this morning? You not only take the Lamb, but you touch the Lamb and you taste the Lamb. Hallelujah. You eat the Lamb. Amen. Hallelujah. Christ and the Lamb, thank God His blood was for us, but thank God His body is in us.
Right. Amen.
Amen. There's to shut that door and roast that Lamb with fire and eat it. They roasted it with fire. That's the judgment of God. They roasted it with unleavened bread because there was no sin in Him. They roasted it with bitter herbs because there's a bitter death that He died. Are y'all hearing me? A cruel death. All this was symbolic of that was the time. They didn't eat it raw. They didn't eat it sodden with water. And they eat every bit of it. Are y'all hearing me? Eat, thank God, the fire, eat His head. Thank God, so you can think like Christ. Eat His legs so you can walk like Christ. Eat the pertinence thereof. Amen. Thank God, which means the entrails, so you can feel like Christ. Amen. So you can have bowels of compassion and mercy. Are y'all hearing me? Christ is our only life. His blood redeems us and shields us from the wrath to come. But His body is what gives us life. And it gave them strength to make the journey out of Egypt and into the wilderness.
Amen.
Amen. Take the Lamb. Touch the Lamb. Taste the Lamb. And I'm almost through. Trust the Lamb.
Amen.
Trust the Lamb. You mean even take Him without trusting Him? A lot of us have.
You're right about that. You're right, brother.
The last two verses I read to you, verses 12 and 13, the Lord said, "I'm going to come through Egypt tonight.
Yeah.
And I'm going to smite the firstborn in Egypt." But He said, "Where the house where the blood is,
yeah,
that's a token unto you. I won't touch that house. I will pass over you." Amen.
Right.
Not because of you, but because of blood on the doorpost and the Lamb went in. And that's the only reason God will pass over you in judgment.
Right.
It's because the Lamb took your judgment.
Right.
And if you don't touch Him by faith and transfer your judgment and your sin to Him and God impute His righteousness to you, you'll not pass over. You'll have to face Him. You'll be like the Egyptians. There'll be death in every house where there is no blood.
Right.
But then trust the Lamb. He said, "Put it there, and the plague won't be on you."
Yeah.
You mean to tell me that the blood of an innocent lamb, the blood of an unblemished lamb, the blood of a male of the first year, that His blood on the top doorposts and the side lintels will keep the plague of death off of me and my family, off of the firstborn in my house? God said, if you'll put it up there, you'll see.
Right.
Bless His name. Did y'all realize that we are trusting somebody we ain't never seen?
You're right, brother. That's right.
Hallelujah. Well, bless His name.
Hallelujah.
But it's real. Hallelujah. And I do say we have an advantage in the new dispensation and the new covenant. They didn't have the old covenant. We do have the indwelling Holy Spirit.
Right.
They didn't even have that because the work was not yet complete. Christ had not come and yet died. But they had to put faith and trust in that blood. Thank God that they had struck over the doorpost and the side lintels, that it would prevent or protect them from the judgment and the hand of God upon
right.
the land of Egypt.
Amen.
And they trusted it. And it did work. It did work.
Everywhere the blood was on the doorpost, the Lord went right on the cross.
Yes, he did.
Not one house where the blood was there death. But every house where there wasn't the blood, there was death. The death of the firstborn. So it is today. It's not whether you've got Gospel Baptist Church on your doorpost or not, of your life. And there's nothing wrong with belonging to Gospel Baptist Church or another good fundamental Baptist church. But if that's all you've got, it'll not keep the judgment of God off of you. You may put good works, you may put this or that over your doorpost, but the only thing that God is looking for, that He'll pass over a house, or pass over a soul, or pass over a life, and not judge that individual, is the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
That's all it'll work. Do you have the blood on the doorpost of your heart? Now they put it on the doorpost, which was above. That shielded, and that spared them from the judgment of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh my. Just like the ozone. The ozone layer, which is above the earth. It don't keep the sun from shining through. It just keeps out the harmful rays.
Right.
Oh, you hear me? And the blood of Christ don't separate us from God, but it keeps the judgment off of us. It filters the judgment and the wrath of God off of us, but lets His love and His mercy and His grace filter through.
Thank God for that.
Are y'all hearing me?
Oh
my. Bless His name.
Hallelujah.
And not only that did it shield them from the judgment of God, from death of the firstborn, but it was on the two side posts. And that separated them from the Egyptians.
Yeah.
On the top, separated them from the judgment of God, or shielded them from the judgment of God. On the two side posts, separated them from the Egyptians. Hallelujah. And there is a vast and a radical difference in a believer and an unbeliever. There is a vast and a radical difference in a saint and a sinner.
Amen.
Are y'all hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Between me and hell, between me and this world, between me and the judgment, will y'all hear me, stands the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is so powerful, woo, that God Himself came through Egypt and said, there's the blood of the Lamb. I can't visit that house. I can't judge that house.
Right.
Hallelujah. And it's so powerful, it separated between them and the Egyptians. Every Egyptian household, thank God the firstborn died, but every firstborn in the house of the Israelite was protected. Why? They trusted the Lamb.
Amen.
What are you trusting to get you to heaven? What are you trusting to deliver you from the wrath to come?
Yeah.
I ain't trusting my preaching. And I ain't trusting my church going. And I ain't trusting my tithing or giving or my good habits or quitting some bad habits.
Yeah.
Amen. Or any time I've read the Bible. Amen. Or who all knows my name. But I am trusting the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's sufficient.
Amen.
And I like that song they wrote and sung several years ago. When it wrote from the perspective of a young Israelite boy asking his daddy, is the blood still on the doorpost? Because he knows if it's not there, he's a goner.
Right.
So he wants his dad to look and see if the blood is still there.
Yeah.
And the father assures him that it's still there.
Amen.
I'm grateful.
Yeah.
Woo! 2,000 plus years ago, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was shed at Calvary. Woo! Thank God, and over 38 years ago, it is appropriated to my heart by faith. Woo! And the blood's still there this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, through the wind, the rain, it still remains. It doesn't matter. Woo! Bless His name. Thank God, nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. Thank God, I'm glad. What do you have this morning? Have you took the Lamb? Have you touched the Lamb? Have you tasted the Lamb?
Are you trusting the Lamb? It's the only way out of Egypt. It's the only way to be delivered from the bondage of sin. The only way to get up under the power and the influence of Satan. The only way to go to Canaan. Through the Lamb. But this day can be the beginning of months. This can be the first month of the year to you. This can be a fresh start. Everybody stand, please. We'll sing a verse of song. It's all right with the pastor. Or however he wants to give the invitation. We'll sing, play, however you want to do it. And if you need to come, the altar is open to you this morning. Would you come this morning? If you've not yet took the Lamb, would you take him by faith? Oh, and would you take him as your own this morning?
Yes.
Touch him. Oh, confess your sin to him.
Yes.
Touch him this morning. Taste of him. And trust him and his blood as the only thing that is sufficient to save you from your sin. And to prevent the wrath and the judgment of God upon your life. By the way, judgment and wrath is coming upon our world just as it came on the land of Egypt. God's appointed day when he will judge the world in righteousness. God has reserved this world under fire against that day. This world's going to be judged. Where are you going to stand? What are you trusting in? Who are you trusting in? Nothing but the blood of Jesus will save us. What about it this morning? Sing when you get ready. If you need to pray, you come this morning. You come this morning. The altar's open if you need to pray.